Bible with me and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 this evening. I'll be focusing on verse number 21 for my evening message. Now I'll read verses 15 through 21 to give us just a little bit of context to it. So if you're able to stand this evening for a reading from the Word of the Lord, let's stand together, and I'll be reading Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's our verse. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. You've freely given, we freely give. And open-handed, open-hearted, thinking of others more highly than ourselves, being other-minded, and walking in step with your Spirit, following the blueprint that Christ laid in his life as Christ in us, the hope of glory, and for us to live is for Christ to live. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, so that the world may see what a difference Christ makes. Pray, Lord, far too often the situation is Christians are not the best to do business with. Christians can be some of the worst. Sometimes Christians can be the most selfish, self-centered. Father, I pray that you would absolutely break us to be conformed to the image of your Son in our life so that Christ receives all of the glory. Use this series, Lord, of one another's just toward that end. Speak to our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the name of the message tonight is I Am Third, and it's not original with me. My son Gideon, our oldest son, went to camp at Kennecott Camp. It's here in Branson. Ethan, our second son, went to camp at Kennecott Camp. It's across the river there, sets on Taney Como on the banks, and they have several camps in Branson and out in the Lampe area and even some in Colorado. They're very successful camping industry, dealing with thousands, literally thousands of kids, young adults every year. It's extraordinary what they do. Occasionally, of course, you've seen them get a black eye and in the press, but believe me, they are doing the Lord's work. And you're always going to have some things that happen. We do pray for them. I've heard for years, being around Kennecott, the I'm Third story. Don't know that I would ever tell the story accurately. It's about a guy named Johnny Ferrier who went to Kennecott yearly and Once so many times, eventually, and so many of these campers do that, he came back to be a camp counselor. He would hear the story of I'm Third, and every year the camp gives I'm Third awards. You say, what's the I'm Third award? And they would talk to the kids about God is first in your life, and he holds position number one. Others are second, and you are third. And they would want to see that lived out within the kids. Well, John Ferrier, he went to camp, and then he became a camp counselor, and then he went on to a very successful career in the Air Force and flew as a fighter pilot, came back and did air shows. I don't know if he was with the Blue Angels or something, just doing things. One of the air shows, his aircraft, they go up and do this. They come in, and then they go up and just do this perfect deal, and they fan out, and it's real beautiful to watch these jets do that in such precision. And his aircraft had was malfunctioned in the middle of that air show performance, and he had no recourse but to crash, and he was headed toward a residential area. And he was told over the radio, eject, 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 you got to get out, save your life, not going to survive it otherwise. He could see off in the distance this lady looking at him in the yard with her child, is my understanding. Looked like he was angling right for that. What little control he had of the aircraft, he was able to manage to pull it up and land it in a place, crash it in a place where it did not injure anyone. And but he did that because he remembered from his Kanakuk days, I'm third, and others come before myself. And it played itself out. And now they give that award to I'm Third campers every year that live up to that standard, that show themselves as where God is first, others are second, and they are third in that. And I think that's the tenor of Ephesians 5:21. He says, I want you to submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And this one another series, as we get ready for our 20th anniversary, this time next Sunday night, the party will begin. We'll have a great concert with Harmony Trio, and Jim Barber is going to come up. I asked if Jim could come. Melanie Barber's in it, married to Jim, the great ventriloquist here in Branson with Hamner Barber for so many years. He's been on Johnny Carson. He's been everywhere. I said, could Jim come up and take part in your performance? They said, yeah, we'll try to get him up in the first half and take a little break and then have him maybe up again. Why not? That'd make it a fun evening. We're starting the party, but until then, I'm kind of pushing up to the end, going into Dennis Swanberg, then going in right into the Lisenbys. And but we're starting this discovery. The party has actually been started for months now, as I've been doing this one another series, and trying to warm our hearts and remind us what it means to be a church, what it looks like, what are these one another phrases all about, putting that puzzle together. And so the series is designed to motivate us to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill our lives, and that the Holy Spirit would fill our worship, and that the Holy Spirit would be working so strong, so patently obvious when the invitations are given, that there is this almost a palpable sense that the Spirit is doing something in our midst. And so I'm praying that God would shape us to care for one another so that Christ is glorified in this church. I am not complicated in this. This is something that means a great deal to me. But I want you to see tonight in this verse, as I break it apart, verse number 21. It's a very short, very simple verse, very economy of words used there. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's like seven words in the verse, something like that. I want us to see we do these one another's for the sake of self, for the sake of the self-care of our own soul, to see whether or not we are actually walking in step with the Spirit, to see if we are operating in step with our Savior, in step with the Father. You start all of these things, start with self, surrendering, submitting for the sake of self. That's the first point. The second point is for the sake of society, for those around you. Submitting yourselves, he says, do this to yourself, one to another, for the sake of those all around. There's never any moment where I'm not keenly aware that people watch me. I'm the pastor. It's just kind of goes with the territory. You can't, there's no getting away from it. People are watching what you do, how you do things, but you are being watched. I don't know if you're keenly aware of that or not. You are. This isn't something that I go through solo, that we are all influencing others. We are all being scrutinized by others. We are all being watched by others. So, for the sake of your own soul, for the sake of self, and then for the sake of society. And lastly, when he says, do this in the fear of God, I am calling this for the sake of the Savior. We do these things, and that's what motivates us. Our worship of God, our love of God, our awe of God. We are completely, if we are completely humbled, broken, submitted to Him, this is something that is not, it's impossible in our own strength, but it's entirely possible when we walk in step with the Holy Spirit. First, for the sake of self. He opens the verse like this. Submitting, he says, yourselves. I won't go any further. I'll stop right there. This is something that you have to do. No one else can do this. Don't expect me to do this for you. I'm not going to expect you to do this for me. I have to do this myself. I have to let the Lord have an impact in my life. I have to give evidence that I am truly born again. I have to give evidence of this, not only at church, but when I leave the church. I have to give evidence of this when I'm in my home. I give evidence of this when I drive my vehicle. I give evidence of this of how I steward my finances, my money, and how I husband my wife, shepherd my family. I have to give evidence of this everywhere I go. Guess what? I'm not the only one on the hook. We're all. It starts at home. Marilyn and I were talking tonight about sometimes some of the most challenging things of all, that whether it's a banker or a loan officer or someone investigating theft and some scam, and it can be scam on a very high profile scale, not dollars and cents, tens of thousands, perhaps millions of dollars, there can be a Christian involved in that. Start with yourself. Sometimes some of the toughest weekends we can have here in this community might be Young Christians Weekend. We do it every year as a community, and I tell you, those that own the hotels and the inns here in town get good business, but it's a tough weekend. Now, youth, kids will be kids, boys will be boys, but that's no excuse. If you say that you walk with Christ, that I expect my children from the time they walk with Christ to be different children. I have expectations of them, as they should have different expectations of me. If I say I love Christ, it should be reflected. Sometimes one of the toughest, you know, 3 or 4 weeks in town can be Southern Gospel Nights here in town. Tough crowd. You need to put your arms around these one another's. And you need to let Christ change your life so that anyone that rubs elbows with you, that sees you, that watches you, they see a man that loves the Lord. They see a woman that walks with God. And they see someone that's a real trophy of God's grace. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Will not be in no shape or form till I cross the threshold of heaven and am finally glorified. I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm going to be wrestling with this flesh till the day I die. But Christ should make a huge difference in our lives. I am unashamedly saying that. In fact, you say, what does this really look like? He says this. It's not a throwaway line. Some of these, you know, changes in our text are main, not changes, but the divisions in our text, you know, the chapter divisions, verse divisions. There's a gap in my Bible between 21 and 22. There's a gap between 14 and 15, big gaps. They section things off. Some of those divisions, some of those ideas came out. The words are inspired by the Lord, but some of those divisions kind of play with your mind sometimes. But you can see what it means to submit yourselves. Let me just say it this way. There are illustrations here in this text to say what it looks like. He said, put the cookies down on the shelf so I can get to it. Let's see where the rubber meets the road on this idea of submitting yourselves one to another. Well, go to verse 22, and you'll see something about the role of wives. He says, wives, I want you to submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The husband, he's the head of the wife. As Christ is the head of the church, he's the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject, you know, submitted to Christ, so wives should be submit themselves and respect and honor their husbands in everything. That's what this whole thing. You say, show me what it looks like to be a spirit-filled Christian. Well, for wives, to honor and respect your husbands, and that's where Paul starts. But that's not where Paul ends. Paul says you can do it this way. He'll turn the tables on the husbands in verse number 25. Husbands, he'll say, if you want to know what it looks like to submit yourselves one to another, if you want to know what it looks like for a guy to be spirit-filled, not drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit, as I read a moment ago, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Some guy will come, hey, I think God wants me to leave my wife. Hey, God has told me that there's another gal that I need to be. Hey, God has told me I made a mistake. I say, God has told you this, love your wife. That's what God has told you. And he says, she doesn't deserve it. And what you find in all of these is often the person you honor, that you love, as the Ten Commandments say, you know, children, honor thy father and thy mother. Sometimes people often don't deserve things, but you're doing something out of obedience to God for the sake of that other person that needs something, and they cannot, will not get it anywhere else. Only you can give it. But you give it and watch what God does. You'll be surprised at the difference God can make. He doesn't end there. In chapter 6, verse 1, what does it mean? We see what it means for a woman to be walking in step with the Spirit. We see what it means for a husband to be walking in step with the Spirit. How about in chapter 6, verse 1? Children, what does it look like for a child to be walking in step with the Spirit? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey them. Now, if they say, go out and rob a bank, he says, in the Lord. If he says, go out and key a car, go out and kick your dog, don't do that. If your parents say, do things that are not contrary to Scripture, then do those things and honor your parents in that way. He says in 6:5 something else. Servants, I say employees, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the singleness of heart, of your heart, as unto Christ. Don't always be backstabbing your employer. Don't get out there and necessarily go on strike and say, I'm going to shut down my, if you want a different job, get a different job. That's my advice. If you don't like the job you have, you're not married to your job. Get a different job. And let the Lord take care of business as he sees fit to do. He says, if you are a servant, if you are an employee, you clock in when you're supposed to clock in. You work when you're supposed to work. You leave when you're supposed to leave. You do your thing as unto the Lord. That's what a spirit-filled employee looks like. He said, does he ever turn the tables on the bosses? Sure he does. In 6:9, you masters, you employers, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. The start of this whole one, I often say God has an entire plethora of attributes. The real heart and soul of the attributes of God is His holiness. It shapes His power. It shapes His wisdom. It shapes His mind. It shapes His imagination. His holiness impacts everything. For Christians, the heart, I can tell us to do 1,000 things. Humility is at the heart and soul of it. Submitting ourselves one to another. If holiness is the overarching attribute of God that impacts all other attributes, then humility is the overarching characteristic of believers that impacts everything else about them. We are not hoity-toity. We are not holier than thou. We are not better. We walk with Christ. The idea is to treat others, I'm third, as greater than yourself, to put others first. You say, I can't do that. That is a bridge too far. I will not do that. I'm going to bow up. I'm going to dig in my heels. Let me tell you what Christ did. Christ came from heaven. And He came to do His Father's will. He did it not because we deserved it. He did it in order to show a tremendous amount of, to do for us something that we could never do for ourselves, that if He didn't do it, it would never be done. And the first step of His journey to earth was to humble Himself, to leave the ivory palaces of heaven, to come to this dirt-filled, Roman-ruled, blood, sweat, tears, to suffer scorn, spit, trial, nails, thorns, whips, cross, his own community, Nazareth, to try to push Him over a cliff. You say He didn't deserve it. The treatment He got in Nazareth, He didn't deserve the treatment He got on the cross. He didn't deserve it, and certainly we don't deserve it. This is what the Christian life is to look like. Believers are to have the same mindset. You say it's impossible. We have the same mindset as our Savior. Sake of self. Sake of self, sake of society is what I'm seeing in back to Ephesians. Ephesians 5:21, once again. After He says, submit yourselves, He says, do this one to another. One to another for the sake of others, for the sake of the society that's around you. And Got Questions, it's a very popular website, says, to submit to one another is not based on the merits of the other person. Believers aren't to submit to one another because others deserve it. We are to submit to one another because this is what following Christ looks like. Sometimes we stoop. Sometimes we help. Sometimes we come alongside others because they need our help. You say they don't deserve our help. They need our help. Sometimes Marilyn has come along beside me, not because I deserve it, because I need her help. Sometimes I may come along beside her, not because she deserves it, because she needs my help. Sometimes I come along beside our children. We do things for them. They certainly don't deserve it. They need, my children need me. They need my help. And so we come along beside them. We're kind of like the Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan comes along beside a guy. The priest walks by, none of my business. You know, Levite walks by, none of my business. The Samaritan walks by and says, He stops. He listens. He looks. He kneels. He repairs the guy's, he patches up the guy's wounds. He pours the oil on. He bandages him up. He puts him on his donkey. He takes him into town. He puts him in an inn. He says, Here's you know, my card for the inn. Let me cover his costs. If there's any medical costs, I want to take care of that myself. It took time to stop, stoop, help, oil, clothe, bandage, carry, go. That's what it means to submit yourselves one to another. It requires listening. It requires thinking. It requires caring. It can involve sacrifice. It requires helping. It requires going. It requires giving for the sake of others, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's inconvenient, even if it's costly. He says, I want you to submit yourselves one to another. And so many churches are kind of their own cultural society, and if you come in, you're not one of us, then they may not say it, but you can see it in their eyes. They may not say it, but you can see it when they don't say anything. They're saying everything. There's a way. You not only have to be careful about what you say, you have to be careful about what you don't say. And you have to be careful about what you say, of how you say it. Because things are being communicated subtly, off the chart, silently, quietly. And anyone whose feet come through these doors should have an encounter with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they should leave this place with the entire, having an encounter with the entire complement of the Trinity. You submit yourselves one to another, if you will, for the sake of society. Lastly, it's for the sake not only of self, not only for society, it's for the sake of the Savior. He ends in 21 this way. Do all of this in the fear of God. Our actions shaped by our love for the Lord. Our words shaped by the love for the Lord. Our attitude shaped by our love for the Lord. It should be utterly transparent that we love the Lord. What is the fear of God? He says, do this in the fear of God. You say, well, it's an Old Testament idea. I think the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Isn't that an Old Testament concept? And isn't it kind of stuck in the Old Testament, never to get out of the Old Testament? I don't see any New Testament application of that. Do you know that we worship the same God of the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God has not changed? Is that news to you? Do you know that Christ is all over the pages of the Old Testament, just as He is all over the pages of the New Testament? Do you know that there's grace and mercy and godliness in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament? Do you know the saints of the Old Testament aren't saved by obeying the law? They're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, that they could see His day. We're told Abraham saw His day. They saw His day. They would offer this innocent sacrifice because they knew the innocent sacrifice was coming. His name is Christ. And so you can't say the fear of the Lord is an Old Testament, hoity-toity, old. It's old, it's archaic, it's out of sync, it's a has-been. Put it in the museum. Old, we're New Testament Christians. He says, I want you to submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now, this isn't a fear like a prisoner would have for a jailer. Like the jailer's going to come in, and if he sees you praying or if he sees you doing something that he told you not to do, he's going to put a bucket on your head and beat you. Boom, 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 boom. He's not going to take you out by the feet and hang you by your feet and beat your feet till you can't walk again. This isn't that kind of fear. The fear of the Lord is to say, I cannot believe what you did for me, and I am totally honored, totally humbled, totally in awe of what God has done for us. You can, when I was a child, maybe I'm dating myself, it seems like I would hear people say, you know, that woman is a God-fearing woman, or that man is a God-fearing man, or that's a God-fearing child. Oh, God-fearing. And it was a compliment that you would give to someone that says that they live up to what Christ has done for them. Unbelievers, let me just say it this way. Unbelievers have no fear of God. Believers, however, hold tightly to a reverence and an awe for the holiness of God. Believers love the Father, come before Him with joy, and yet we know as we come before Him, we're coming before the judge of heaven and earth. We're coming before the creator of heaven and earth and all that therein is. We know we're coming before the one who it is in him that we live and move and have our being. We know we're coming before one who can be the great lion of the tribe of Judah and can also be the great lamb. You know, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. He can be both, he can be lion and lamb in one body, if you will, if I can use that word about Father, who our Father who is spirit and has no body, that combination of lion and lamb. And so we come before him with reverence, and it impacts our actions before God and before others. The fear of God, we follow a crucified Savior, a guy who was crucified. That's who we follow. And so we don't expect to be given silk glove treatment by this world. We don't expect the world to roll out the red carpet for us because we're something special, don't you know? We expect that we follow our Savior who was crucified, and it's going to come with cost, expense, sacrifice, be uncomfortable, be a little bit rough and tumble, sometimes a blood sport, but we are going to do it with class and integrity before a watching world that has no fear of God. And it makes all the difference to us. And if I'll just end here. I'm third. Others before me for the sake of Christ in the fear of God. Let's just say that all of us tonight, let me play a little game. We're all going to be campers at Kanakuk this week. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're doing. We're just youth. We're young people. That's what we're doing. Our parents have sent us to Kanakuk. They're giving the I'm Third Award. Would you be a candidate? Would that be something that might run through your mind? I think I'm the guy. God first, others second, I'm third. That's what this One Another series is all about, to teach the church to be the church, to teach us that going to church, joining a church, is not the worst thing you can do for your soul. It's not the most dangerous thing you can entertain in your mind. Dwight McKee came this morning and says, "I come gladly as a follower of Christ. I've been baptized. I think the church that I was part of, Mountaintop in Heber Springs, Arkansas, I think it's closed. I think if you were to write to them that they would not have my membership there at Mountaintop Baptist. But I come wanting to be a part of this wonderful church family." I think that we would all want to get the award, not for vanity purposes, but just to be the kind of person that the other counselors are watching to say, "There's your I'm third. That's the one right there." May Christ make a change in our hearts for the sake of ourself, for our own soul, our own soul care, for the sake of society. Do this one to another for the sake of our Savior in the fear of God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the pleasure of just meeting tonight and worshiping you in spirit and in truth. It is I think perhaps the greatest thing we can do on earth is just to draw aside and to worship you on earth. I think heaven is going to be so spectacular, so glorious, so wonderful. We can't imagine what's going on. We'll be worshiping up there. We're just tuning our hearts down here to sing your praise. Hallelujah. We pray tonight, Lord, if there's one without the Savior tonight, that they would come to faith in Christ and take that step and say, "I'm a sinner, I need a Savior." May they come as we sing our closing song. Others tonight, Lord, like those that came this morning, some to the altar, some to me, saying, "Prayer, I need you to pray with me, pray for me, I need to pray by myself," as we sing our closing song tonight. May there be those that come, as this morning for prayer. And as always, Lord, as we sing our closing song, there may be believers here who just say, I need a church home. And that church is not the most dangerous thing I can do for my soul. Christ attached his perfect head to a body. It's disabled. I get it. But he works through his church. Pray that you'll bless tonight, Lord. There may be some that come home to friendly. Bless as we sing. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.